You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adore Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Latest economic numbers show Germany is officially in recession, and the year-over-year increase in foreclosures in the United States is up 25%. That's an enormous rate of increase. In the meantime, Congress is scrambling to deal with all of the changing numbers in this economic turmoil, and a Treasury Secretary, Hank Paulson, who seems to be changing the rules of his own rescue plan.
Overall, we are in a better position than we were. But we must address the continued challenges of a weak economy, especially the housing correction and lending contraction.
Yesterday, the Treasury Secretary announced that the bailout would not be buying bank assets as much as it would be bailing out securities that might include consumer debt. That change was not reacted to well by Wall Street. It was down 5%, both the S&P and the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Is Congress scrambling to deal with a Treasury Secretary that's making up the rules as he goes along? Joining us now, we're very pleased to have with us the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, Barney Frank, Democratic representative from Massachusetts, joining us on the phone from Washington. Congressman Frank, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
How much are you scrambling to deal with what looks like a shift in emphasis by the Treasury Secretary, and how's the oversight going on this giant $700 billion rescue?
Well, the oversight of the money they are spending has been progressing. We are very unhappy and have made it clear that the money that was used to buy stock in banks has not been used by all the banks the way it should have been. That is the purpose of our buying stocks, and that was one of the things we did tell the Secretary to do. That was not a problem from the congressional standpoint. In fact, he was initially reluctant to use that authority, and we put it into the bill. But too many of the banks that have received the share purchases have used it for other purposes, and it's only for relending. And, in fact, we will have a hearing next week in which we will have Secretary Paulson, Chairman Bernanke, and others. And they will hear a lot of anger from members of Congress about a failure to insist that this money be relent. But today we are dealing with a new issue that he raised yesterday, and that is, it is not that we disagree with what he is doing. All the things he's doing, we had, in fact, authorized him to do. The key was his decision to do nothing at all to reduce foreclosures. You just cited that statistic about the increase in foreclosures. And we want to stress, there's a compassionate reason to help some of the people who are facing foreclosure because they were misled. But the main reason for trying to reduce foreclosures is economic. It was the foreclosure crisis that was brought on by irresponsible subprime lending that got us into this mess. And it is necessary for us to get out of this mess to reduce the number of foreclosures, because you still have a lot of these mortgages that should never have been made in the first place but were and were sold to various people. And as they default, that just causes problems everywhere in the economy. So I was very surprised to have the Secretary say he's getting out of the business. Well, just one last point. A very good appointee of the Bush administration, Sheila Bair, who's the head of the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, has been in the lead in this for a long time. She has a very good proposal that builds on and extends some of the things we did in Congress to reduce foreclosures. Surprisingly to me, Secretary Paulson says, well, we work with her. That's now a good plan, but we're not going to do anything to fund it. And she has a good plan that will reduce foreclosures, and we ought to be using some of the money in the $700 billion to implement it.
Congressman, before we get back to the foreclosure issue, in terms of the relending, it's been reported that about all but $60 billion of the $350 billion that you've already authorized for the Treasury Department has been handed out. Who's gotten the money, and how much have they gotten? Do you know?
Yes. Nine big banks got $125 billion. The nine largest banks got a total of $125 billion. And we say got, we should be clear. This was no gift. And people should understand, of the first $250 billion, it is all very, very likely to be repaid in full, maybe with a slight profit, because we bought stock in healthy banks. We bought stock in healthy banks because we were told, look, banks are only allowed to lend a certain percentage of their capital. As this market has deteriorated, the capital that banks held has been deteriorating because it's in various securities that have been devalued in some ways. So the notion was, well, okay, now the banks can't lend as much because their capital has been shrunk. We'll give them money to relend. So and only to healthy banks. Now, $125 billion went to the big nine banks. A second $125 billion is in the process of being used to buy stock in the smaller banks. And then $40 billion went to frankly, back up the Federal Reserve's play with regard to AIG. Now, I do believe with all of that 290, the tax base is going to get it all back.
Well, but wait a second, Congressman Frank. I mean, as this has happened to the so-called healthy banks, Citicorp's stock's price dipped below 10 yesterday. I mean, how can you say that the taxpayers aren't on the hook when all of these bank stocks are tanking?
Because they are not going to go to zero. They are not going to go bankrupt. They have assets that protect us. And we also have preferred stock. We didn't buy common stock. So the value of our stock is not dropping. We got preferred stock, which pays 5% dividends. And we will be protected because if we're in a superior position legally to those common stocks.
Which only means that they're paying you the dividend out of the Federal Treasury, though, right?
Well, we are insisting that they not do that if it is in any way going to jeopardize our recovery. And we are also trying to assess, and I think Treasury has been laggard in enforcing this, the money that we put in to buy shares has to be relent. They have to show an increase in lending activity. If after they've done that, they have money left over to pay dividends or do whatever, then they're free to do that, except that we do put restrictions on what can be paid to the people at the very top.
Congressman,
but we are going to be insisting, right, and that's the hearing next week, is for them to show us where the increased lending was.
Congressman Frank, did you see this story in Bloomberg News about their Freedom of Information Act request?
To the Federal Reserve, yes.
To the Federal Reserve for $2 trillion that apparently Congress agreed to be lent to smaller banks. What do you know about the $2 trillion?
Congress didn't agree to lend $2 trillion to smaller banks.
That's what the executive editor of Bloomberg News said the Federal Reserve told him.
No, in the first place, if Congress agreed, it agreed in 1935. The Federal Reserve's lending, unlike the Treasury, is being done under a statute that was passed during the Depression that gives them the right to lend money. I can tell you as a fact, when, for instance, they advanced the money to AIG, they did not ask us, they informed us. So the executive editor of Bloomberg is wrong, or somebody told him bad information.
Well,
we did vote $700 billion to be used with various safeguards that we put in, but the lending from the Federal Reserve has not been subjected to Congress. It hasn't been approved by Congress, and there's just no basis for that.
Well, but I'm not trying to pin you down here. Well, I am trying to get a sense of the oversight. Is it conceivable?
Well, I understand that, sir, but you made a statement that said Congress approved it.
That's just what I was told yesterday. I'm glad for you to set me straight on that.
You know, people tell you Elvis is alive.
All right.
I'm not accountable for everything anybody tells you.
Well, hey, Elvis is alive. That I don't want to get into. That's not controversial. But Congressman Frank, let's talk about the $2 trillion. Is it conceivable that they would have lent $2 trillion? And that Congress would somehow not have been informed by that?
No, you were making a distinction here that shouldn't be made. I said we have been informed. We did not approve it. Your initial statement was that it was Congress approved, and that's not true. Informed, yes, but I think the $2 trillion must include the $700 billion. I don't know how they get to $2 trillion. It is true. The Federal Reserve did have the authority under this Depression-era statute to make loans. That's the loans to Bear Stearns. That's the loans to AIG. And then they have also been engaged in buying up commercial paper that couldn't otherwise be sold. So, yes, clearly they've been doing hundreds of billions of it, and they have informed us of it. It was, as I said, Bear Stearns, which we were told about after the fact, AIG, which we were told about after the fact. So, but it's not $2 trillion from the Fed. I believe the $2 trillion, one, I don't think it reaches $2 trillion, but two, it is, I think, the combination of that and the $700 billion. And finally, the overwhelming majority of that's going to be repaid. People shouldn't think this is $2 trillion added to the deficit.
All right. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to clarity on that. Do you have your first question for Ben Bernanke when the hearing opens next week?
Well, if I do, I don't think I should ask it on your radio program, if you'll forgive me. I think I'll wait and ask him.
That's right. Well, you don't want him to prep for it. But, I mean, I guess the main concern of your committee is why the banks haven't started relending,
yeah,
right?
For this particular thing. We also, many of us, will be critical of the administration's failure to join us in supporting a vigorous economic recovery program. I mean, we need to do three things to get out of this terrible recession, the worst since the 30s. One, we need to get the money relent so the credit markets work. Now, the Secretary said correctly things are better than they were, better than they would have been if we hadn't passed this. But They'd be even better if the banks would do what we had expected them to do and relent that money.
No, and that is the mystery. Congressman Frank, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Congressman Arne Frank is the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. He's a Democrat from Massachusetts, speaking to us by phone from Washington, D.C.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.